A symbol of cowardice. It's not a white feather. It is a silver fern, and it is our national emblem. So this is kind of the emblem that the people had as they were coming out to greet Jesus. Jewish nationalism. What was Jesus riding on? He came in riding on a donkey. Leaders come in and they would be riding animals. And if a leader was on a horse, a strong horse, it was one ready for war. If it was on something like a donkey, it was a peacetime gesture. And what were the people shouting as Jesus rode in? Hosanna. What is Hosanna? What does Hosanna mean? What? No, they were looking to him as the Messiah, possibly. But the name Hosanna, they were shouting at this chant. And it was a quote of the Old Testament. Look at Matthew 21, verse 9. I'll put it on the screen here. This is when Jesus was coming in. It says, the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What does this Hosanna mean? It was taken from Psalms. And so let's flip back to Psalms 118, verse 25. The psalm says, save now, I pray, O Lord, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So this is the chant that the people were remembering, that they had put in their minds as they were looking for someone to come and save them. Psalm 118. Notice the first two words of the psalm. What are the first two words? Save now. The Hebrew word for save is yashah. And the word for now, which is a plea for an immediate action, is now. So it was yoshana. So what we have in the New Testament with the people of Israel coming out to meet him, it's the Greek equivalent. It's actually a transliteration, not a translation of the Hebrew, Yoshana. So what they are coming out chanting is, save us now. Save us now from the oppression. Save us now from the Roman rule that is over us. And they were looking to possibly, is this the Messiah? You see, others had come even before. Others had come and claimed to be messiahs. And they had gone out and greeted them and started an uproar, started riots, because they were so desperate to be out from under Roman rule. And Rome responded quickly and swiftly, often with bloodshed. And so when we have the Pharisees and others saying, tell your disciples to keep it down, to be quiet, that's part of the reason is we don't want to start another bloodshed here. Yoshana. The interesting thing, though, is that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a special day. It wasn't Palm Sunday. That's what it came to be known later. Christians began to call it Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rode, or the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But it was a special day. It was something that was simply known as the Lamb Selection Day, or Lamb Day. We'll talk more on this soon, but it was a special day during the Jewish celebrations leading up to what was the Passover, which was coming the following week. There was a biblical writer named John, and he understood who Jesus really was, and we see this in the book of John, as he writes about another man named John, a different John. being John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 29. Let's take a look and let's read verse 29 to verse 36. Would you stand with me, please? Read it out loud with me this time. It's only a short passage. We can do this together. Are you ready? The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Father, help us now to understand better this Lamb of God. Help us to see him clearly too, as we see John the Baptist did. Lord, we thank you for the Lamb. We thank you for what he has done, for the salvation that he brings. Lord, give us a greater in-depth understanding and an appreciation for the sacrifice of the Lamb. If there's anybody in this place that has yet to understand and receive that sacrifice, receive forgiveness that is available through him, I pray, Lord, you would begin working in their hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we say, please take a seat if you would. John saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. He understood the Passover as a picture of the sacrifice of the Messiah, of the Christ. And twice here we just read his proclamation as he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." The people of Israel knew all about the Passover. They understood what it was. You know the Passover. I'm sure most of you know the Passover. You've heard the story in the Old Testament of the Passover. In Exodus, we see God describing something that the Israelites were to do. Moses had come and he had done what God said and said, "Let my people go." The Pharaoh refused over and over again. We see the 10 plagues took place. And then we come to the 10th and final and most devastating plague of all, and that is the death, the angel of death that passed over each house and the death of each firstborn son of each house. But God gives his people instructions of what they were to do. A lamb was to be selected at a certain time, certain day, and kept under watch for the next 4 days to make certain that it was without blemish. It was without spot. It was without sickness. It had no problems. This day, Exodus describes, was to be on the 10th day of the month of Abib. The month of Abib, that is the old form of what was later to be called the month of Nisan, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan. Exodus describes this was a new beginning. It was going to mark the first month of their calendar. It's about our April or May now. On the 14th day of that very month, they were then to kill the lamb, placing its blood over the doorpost of the home. And then they were to eat it. The scribes eat all of it, consume it all. Not any of it shall remain. Anything that remains in the morning is to be burnt up completely. So Exodus 12 and verse 13 tells us, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." So this was their instruction of what to do. God was passing over the land of Egypt, and for God to protect them, they were to show their faith, their belief in Jehovah God through this lamb that they were to sacrifice and the blood that was to be over their door. Now regarding Jesus, we see it as the Lamb of God. The Apostle John, recording Jesus' death, writes in John 19, verse 31, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." Jesus was crucified on the cross, and the Jews came and requested of the Romans to break the legs so that they wouldn't be in violation of the Sabbath rules. So here they're murdering, killing an innocent man, and they want him dead, but they have to keep the Sabbath rules. So they said, "Please just break their legs so that we can get this over with, that we can get their bodies down, and no dead body shall remain throughout the Sabbath exposed." It was the day before the high Sabbath, or a Sabbath in which fell the Passover itself. The Passover happened on the 15th day of Nisan. Remember when the killing of the lamb was to be? On the 14th day of this month of Abib or Nisan. Instead of leaving it up for hours, a person on the cross for hours or even days, as wasn't uncommon because it would often take that long for them to die, they asked to take the bodies down so not to remain on the high Sabbath day. Jesus came on a very special day into Jerusalem on that what we call Palm Sunday. Writer Ray Vanderland writes this. He says, "Jesus, the sinless Messiah, who would die on humankind's behalf, presented himself in Jerusalem on the day when each Jewish family selected a perfect lamb to sacrifice the following Friday. It's almost as if God was saying, 'Here's my lamb. Will you choose him?' Jesus came in on this special day." So there are so many similarities between the lamb to be sacrificed and the Lamb of God. Indeed, the Bible calls him such. Jesus was our Passover. We see in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." The early Christians knew what it meant to be the Lamb of God. They knew what John the Baptist said when he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So let's take a look at a few similarities of the Passover lamb and Jesus, the Lamb of God. The first is this: the lamb must be qualified. The Israelites were to keep the lamb with them for 4 days leading up to the Passover, where they would kill the lamb. And the reason for this, to make sure it was a good, healthy lamb, not a sick lamb, not one that's ready to die anyway, so let's use this one for the sacrifice. Or else it wasn't suitable. In verse 5 of Exodus 12, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." This was their instruction for selecting the lamb. How about Jesus? We read in 1 Peter 1, verse 18. We've just recently been through 1 Peter. I hope this is a bit familiar to you. Peter writes, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So Peter understood that Jesus was that Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, and that he was qualified because he was without blemish and without spot. Jesus was born unlike anybody else was ever born. That's why the doctrine of the virgin birth is such an essential, important Christian doctrine. Because he was born unlike anybody else. Had he been born the normal way like we have been, like I was, he would be just like us. And he would not be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, as none of us are. But the Bible describes a unique thing, and that was that the Holy Spirit, God, came upon that woman, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, and she bare Jesus. Upon inspection of Jesus during the trial, Pilate himself, who was not a believer, but he finally said, "I find no fault in him." He was inspected, he was tried, and he was found spotless. Confession time. If I was on trial, the same could not be said of me. There's plenty of faults with Ken Young. No one could say, "I find no fault with him." For I have sinned, I have struggled, I have had wrong thoughts, impure thoughts, I have hated, I have lied, I have desired what I do not have, lusted after things. The list goes on and on of my failures, my spots. No honest judge could say, "I find no fault with him," in referring to me. And if you're honest, the same is couldn't be said about you. But when it came to Jesus, the Lamb of God, he was found spotless without fault. Only Jesus is qualified as the spotless Lamb suitable for the Passover sacrifice. But secondly, not only do we see the Lamb must be qualified, we see the Lamb must be sacrificed. It wasn't enough to select the spotless Lamb. Indeed, it had to be sacrificed to cover the household. When the evening of the 14th day of the month came, the family would then slaughter the lamb after being convinced that it was a spotless lamb and without defect. Verse 6 of Exodus 12, we read, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." What's twilight? What time of day? It's the evening time, sometime before the sun is set. It's a time in between where you can still see the light, but the sun is in the process of setting. And the Jewish time, their days began at sunset until the next sunset. It's different than ours, which begins at dawn, the beginning of a new day. And then it ends the following dawn, 24 hours later. Interesting. It's also interesting if you read the books, the writings of a person named Josephus. Have you heard of the name Josephus? Raise your hand if you've heard of Josephus. Okay, good. A few of you. Josephus was an ancient historian, a Jewish historian, and he's written books. What were they called? A number of books. Antiquities of the Jews. And so a number of the history that we get from the post-Jesus times in the early first century come from the writings of, like, Josephus. But Josephus, he wrote that the Jews' sacrifice for Passover would usually take place between the hours of 3 to 5 p.m., sometime in that range, 3 to 5 p.m. when they did their sacrifices, because that was the twilight time. What time did Jesus die? You remember? The Bible describes it as the ninth hour. We understand that more is around 3 p.m. during the same time when the Jews would make their sacrifices. Jesus was that sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed. Paul said in Romans 5, 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." When we were without strength, when we were helpless and hopeless, Christ died for the ungodly, those who did not deserve, not that he saw something good in us and says, "I will die for them for that." We were ungodly, we were unlovely, we were sinful, but Christ died for us anyway. He was the lamb sacrificed. The lamb must be qualified, it must be sacrificed. And thirdly, we see the blood must be applied. Exodus 12 again, verse 21, "Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the month. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning.'" So here we see the instructions of the blood that was to be applied to the house, the doorpost of the house. It wasn't sufficient for the people who were it wasn't sufficient just for the lamb to be sacrificed. The people, in obeying God, had to apply the blood to their home, to their house. Now, Christ died, but that sacrifice also must be appropriated or taken by faith. Christ died for the world, but the Bible's clear, not all the world is saved. Not all the world is saved. A familiar verse that we all know, John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We know this verse. We love this verse. It's a precious verse, and hopefully you have it memorized in your heart and in your mind. God so loved the world that he gave the lamb. He provided the lamb. Who should not perish but have everlasting life? Whoever believes. This is that appropriation by faith. This is that applying of the blood in your life through faith in the lamb sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Those who applied the blood, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The sacrifice has been made. Has the blood been applied? You've heard the gospel. Some of you perhaps have heard many times, but the question is, have you applied it? Not do you know it? Do you know all about it? Can you recite it back to me? But have you applied it to your life? Have you placed your whole faith, your whole being, everything that you are in the hands of Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in what he has done for you on the cross? Have you believed on him? Have you applied the blood over the doorpost of your life? So the lamb must be qualified, it must be sacrificed, and the blood must be applied. But the fourth similarity that we see here that is also very important is that God is satisfied. God is satisfied. In Exodus 12, verse 13, still referring to the Israelites and what they were to do, it says, "And now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I," who's I? It wasn't Moses, it was God. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So God himself is the one that is satisfied through the sacrifice of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Hebrews is a great book, by the way, in describing to us how the Old Testament in so many, many, many ways is a picture of the real thing that came through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And it just kind of marries up the two together. And it was written so that, you know, especially those who were raised as Jews could understand the connection and how it fits. And in verse 10 of chapter 10, it says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." God is satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, so much so that it's once for all. Jesus died on the cross once for us. He doesn't have to come and do it again the following year and the following year and the following year like the lambs were to be sacrificed. But once for all, because God is satisfied with Jesus' death, with his sacrifice, with the blood that was shed for us on the cross. His sacrifice was once for all. We often talk about how Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. And yes, you know, I'm not going to take away anything from that truth, but we must also recognize the fact that ultimately Jesus died to satisfy the righteous judgment of God. God is the one that was satisfied with his sacrifice. And we have that evidenced in the resurrection, that God was satisfied with his sacrifice for us, and Jesus was released from the grave. Jesus had conquered the grave because God was satisfied. If we had a Savior that didn't rise from the dead, we would not have any confidence that God accepted this sacrifice of Jesus. But God was indeed satisfied. He died to satisfy the demands of God. Your sin cannot be overlooked, no matter how much love God has. God's love doesn't do away with his justice. But Jesus satisfied the justice of God. The Lamb had to be offered. So this Palm Sunday, remember, this was also the Lamb Selection Day. This was the day that people came and they were to pick the perfect lamb to be the sacrifice that they would sacrifice a few days later. God sent his lamb to be chosen by the people. At the time, they didn't see it, and they rejected it, and that's why a short time later, they were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." How about you? How about you today? What will you do? God has presented his lamb to the world. You have heard of the Lamb of God. You have seen it. He is the chosen lamb. He is the spotless lamb. He is the one that was sacrificed. His blood must be applied, and God is satisfied with it. Will you choose that lamb? Would you stand with me, please? With your eyes closed and your head bowed for a time of silence. My friends, this was a special day And throughout history of the church, this has been a special memorial day as well of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But as we remember that triumphal entry and the people shouting out to him and him coming in, riding that donkey, we must not forget these things, that he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He was the chosen Lamb. Must also not forget that that blood must be applied. Has that blood been applied to you? And we do that by faith. Jesus died once for all, Hebrews 10 tells us. One time for all. And so that blood is applied to our lives, not physically, but by faith. And it's a spiritual thing that is done. Has it been applied to your life? If you're not sure, I urge you this morning to come and make sure. Come and make sure. Come and talk. Come and have a word of prayer with somebody. And let us together affirm and confirm that Jesus is your Lamb, your sacrifice. And today you are applying his blood on your life. Christians, at this time when we are approaching the death and the resurrection of Christ, may it be a time that is renewed afresh in your life, in your mind, as you remember this day that Jesus came. The crowds were cheering, they were chanting, save us now, Hosanna. But they had not the understanding of who this was coming in and what he was there to save them from. And maybe we wouldn't either if we were there too. But praise the Lord, we have the advantage of seeing and having the written word of God to help us understand what Jesus came to save the people from. Give the Lord thanks this morning. If you need to come and spend some time with the Lord, step out now where you are. If you need to pray with somebody and talk to somebody about these things, step out now where you are and don't wait. Come, the invitation is open to you. Would you come to him? Would you come to him? Whatever your need is, come to him now. That's in your hearts without the words, we can sing that song, God is so good. Sing it with me.
Good God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
One more time.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Amen. Lord, you are good. Thank you, Lord, for being such a good and gracious God. Thank you for the Lamb of God that was sent to us, for us. We thank you, Lord, that he was selected, that he was sacrificed, the blood applied, and that you were satisfied with his sacrifice. Lord, if there's anybody here who is still uncertain of their own salvation, their own relationship, I pray that you would work in their hearts. And may they come in faith and say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior too. I must apply the blood of the Lamb to my life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. In just a few minutes, we'll be dismissed for our Sunday school classes that start at 10 o'clock. Why don't you take a look with me on the inside of your bulletins under the notices? We have just a few things to share with you on events coming up for this week. The Lord's Supper, we're going to have a special communion time, Lord's Supper. That'll be on Thursday of this week, the 18th of April, starting at 7 o'clock, and we should be finished up somewhere around 8:30. So try to be here in your place this Thursday night for the special communion time. Normally the way we do is we have the seats rearranged in a different and a little bit of a different atmosphere for us as we focus on this special Lord's Supper time. Also on Easter Sunday, the 21st of April, there's only going to be one service. That's the family service at 8:30, combined service, so there's no 11 o'clock worship service, 8:30 only. There's no Sunday school sessions for these days, for this day as well. And then at 10 o'clock, once we're finished up with the worship service, we're going to have a brunch together that'll be served right here at the church. So two events coming this week: communion on Thursday, special worship service for Easter on Sunday at 8:30 only. And then also our other announcement that we'd like to share with you is we're needing creche workers. Several ladies that would be interested in joining the Sunday roster for working in the creche from 10 o'clock onward. So if that sounds like something that you would be interested in, or the Lord has placed it upon your heart, then you can see Jillian. Jillian's not in this service. She usually comes in during the Sunday school time. So just let us know about that. Our missionaries that we're praying for this week, Robert and Ruth Thompson, these are our missionaries that we've supported for quite some time. And they're here on medical leave right now, staying here at the IBC Missions Apartment, and they'll be here for a bit longer. So pray for Robert and Ruth as you see them around. Just let them know that you're praying for them as well. Our other missionary letters we've posted in the back near the kitchen on the bulletin board so that you can read of all the different happenings for our missionaries around the world. So that's all of the announcements. But before we're dismissed, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and we'd like to celebrate that with you. Anyone celebrating a birthday for this coming week? Anyone with a birthday this week coming up? Anyone? No? How about wedding anniversary? Anyone with a wedding anniversary this week? Bong and Tess, come up here. Ken and Winnie, come on up. Anyone else? Anyone else with wedding anniversary? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Anniversary, and then we'll be dismissed in a time of prayer. Let's all sing together.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary. How many years, Bong? Oh, my goodness. Test two, huh? Huh? 23? You sure? How many years, Ken?
15.
Wow, that's gone fast. I married this couple, too. And didn't seem like 15 years ago, though. Oh, we do? Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you. Let's be dismissed. Be sure to greet each other and enjoy a cup of tea and coffee and get ready for class at 10 o'clock. Thank you, Father, for your word to us and the reminder of this special day, the day that Jesus came to present himself, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We thank you for that Lamb, and may each of us have in our hearts applied his blood on us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.